This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The old year is nearly past, and a new one is facing us ahead. And drama and destiny go hand in hand. Today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look at the link between drama and destiny. Does drama actually determine destiny, or does drama actually set the course for destiny to be further determined? Well, we're looking back, we're looking ahead here today on Viewpoint, and I'm glad that you've joined us. This conversation is always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. Today, or tomorrow, the world population will just go over 8 billion people. Just over 8 billion people, finally. The world population increased by more than 71 million people this last year. Will be 8.09 billion people on New Year's Day. And Israel's population will now meet 10 million people, with 7.7 million of them Jewish, the rest Arab, or a small percentage of others. Well, those are the interesting stats today as we approach the end of 2024 and end toward and begin our entrance into 2025. No one knowing for sure what is facing us ahead. But today we're going to take a look at that which is behind. We're told in the scriptures that we should not look back to what is behind, but press forward to that which is before, always pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So that is what I would like for us all to encourage ourselves with as we even look back to the drama of 2024 and ahead to, well, who knows what. As a song says, the future is not ours to know or to hold. On the other hand, we want to trust the Lord today. Today is the day of salvation. We don't know what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow, the song says, I don't seem to understand. But I do know who holds the future, and I know who holds my hand. I hope that's true for you as we conclude 2024 as traumatic and as dramatic as it has been, and indeed it has been dramatic. It's been dramatic in the United States of America. It's been dramatic in the Middle East. It's been dramatic in Russia. It's been dramatic and even traumatic all over the world. And so we talked this today concerning this matter of drama and destiny. When you think about it, you go back in the history of the world, you back in the history of biblical history, and you find just amazing dramas, and they have become the centerpiece of the story of the gospel, the story of the Bible, and all centered around high drama at the OK Corral, so to speak. We find Noah. After creation, we don't know very much about what happened between creation and Noah, other than humankind became extraordinarily wicked, so much so that God said they're beyond hope, and he designed a flood to come in and judge the earth and allowed humankind to be saved through a man by the name of Noah who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And hopefully you will find grace in the eyes of the Lord as we head into 2025. But as a result of that flood, many things happened. Yes, the earth was cleansed of humankind, but for Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives. On the other hand, there was much to be dealt with. Now what's going to happen? Humankind is gone, but for one man and his family. That opens up a whole new direction for the world. Indeed, it did. It also changed history in another way, and that is geographical, not geographical, but geography and so on was changed. The geological systems of the world were changed. So much so that scientists today want to rely upon what happened then to determine what will happen in the future. Charles Lyell, who was a lawyer and a geologist, developed this idea of uniformitarianism. Just like Darwin had his idea of evolution, so Charles Lyell developed his form of evolution based upon, well, ignoring the effect of the flood for the future. And so he concluded that everything was going to progress on in the same way as it had in the past. The problem with his thinking was he didn't take account with what had happened in the past with regard to the flood. Oftentimes, you see, as we look at what's happening in our world, what has happened, what is going to happen, and so on, we forget that there are unintended consequences. In fact, there are consequences that reverberate down through all of time and history. And we're going to see a few of those here as we talk a little bit about, set the stage for our conversation, looking back in our year just past. But we want to go back further than that, as we did with Noah. So then we can go, for instance, to a fellow by the name of Abraham. Abraham was there in Ur of the Chaldees, and God spoke to him that he was to up and leave everything that he knew there and head on his way to the land of promise. God would show him what was there for him to behold. And so it was a very dramatic thing for Abraham at 70, however old he was, when God first came to him there in Genesis chapter 12 and then 15 and 18 and so on. But God spoke to him, entered into a covenant with him, and for all history's purposes, that was high drama. High drama for the God of creation to enter into a covenant with a human being. And he said, "In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And so that set up a pattern. And so Abraham had a son at 100 years of age. The promise had come to him at 75 years of age, and Abraham had, in a high drama of faith, had to live out that promise, trusting that God was going to fulfill the promise that he would have a son, which he did, the son of promise called Isaac, or as the Hebrews call it, Isaac. And then it was Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. And they became the forebears of the nation of Israel and of the Jewish people, Israel. So the consequences, you see, of the high drama with Abraham and God have echoed on now through history and are going to be fulfilled even the more so because God said that through Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed, not just the Jews, not just the Hebrews, but the Gentiles as well. Drama and destiny. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. Today we're looking at drama and destiny. It's not so much that drama determines destiny, but it has a dramatic effect upon destiny, and oftentimes we do not link the two. Maybe we should. Maybe we should understand that the drama, perhaps, that we sense even before our eyes for a 365-day period is going to have ramifications far beyond anything that we ever conceived, even though we think the drama might be over. Drama has a way of directing destiny. Maybe that's the better word, not determining, but directing destiny. And so we have another fella by the name of Joseph. You may remember Joseph, the fella with the coat of many colors, and his brothers envied him dramatically. And so they decided to throw him into a pit, and they were going to kill him. One of the brothers decided to save him. They sold him into the hands of the Midianites that took him to Egypt. And there he was thrown in prison, and there he was raised up, and there he was brought down again. And for 17 years, the word of the Lord tried him, the Bible says. 17 years. Now, that was dramatic in the life of this young man, Joseph. But then a dream came along. A couple of dreams came along. That's pretty dramatic. And Joseph was able to speak into the life of those dreams for Pharaoh and also for his chief baker. And, well, we want to talk about the guy who lost his head as a result of the dreams. And so Joseph was elevated to the second in command in Egypt. He became the Lord of Egypt. Who would have ever believed such a thing? High drama. High drama determined destiny. And through Joseph's destiny and drama, he was able to save his forebears, save his brothers and their family, that became a mighty nation, such that Pharaoh himself, after 400 years, decided to kick them out. And that was another great drama, as God brought in a fellow by the name of Moses. Where was the drama? Well, 10 plagues, 10 acts of deliverance, ultimately crossing the Red Sea with a mighty act of God through the act of faith through Moses reaching out his rod. And again, it seems that drama always precedes the next big events of history. How God works in and through our lives and through history. Then there was a fellow by the name of Elijah. You may remember him up on Mount Carmel, or Carmel, however you want to pronounce it, Carmel, overlooking the Tel Megiddo and the Jezreel Valley. And here he's faced with the 400 prophets of Baal who were ruining Israel. They were desecrating Israel through Jezebel and her wicked desecration of the faith of the Jewish people. And so Elijah has this confrontation with the 400 prophets of Baal, and after they've done their dance, their wicked dance around the sacrifice, Elijah taunts them and taunts them and taunts them, and then finally the fire of God comes down, as Elijah calls it down, and then these 400 prophets are wiped out. Elijah, therefore, became the number one person, prophet, in the mind and heart of Israel for the future. What do they look for every Passover, when they put out a chair, an empty chair? They're looking for Elijah to show up, the Elijah that was to come. Well, Jesus told us that the Elijah that was to come was John the Baptist. You see how it was echoing this drama through Elijah now became invested in John the Baptist to introduce the coming of the just one, the Savior of the world. And then we're told that another one coming in the spirit of John the Baptist or Elijah is still to come. You see how the drama continues to echo through history up until the end of the age. The same happened with a fellow by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. And, you know, he invaded Israel and he actually desecrated the temple, sacrificed a pig on the altar and declared himself basically God in the flesh, much like the Pope, Vicar of Christ. Antiochus Epiphanes declared himself basically God in the flesh. And so it was a foretelling in high drama there in Israel, in Jerusalem, to show what was going to happen in the end of the age when another fella under the authority and power of Satan would do the same thing and declare himself God in a rebuilt temple. So history continues to manifest itself through these major dramas. But then how about Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach? Well, even his very birth was high drama. We have just celebrated his birth. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government is going to be upon his shoulder. That's high drama in history. And it was said 700 years before Jesus was ever born. And even at least three wise men, came from the far. They had seen a star in the east. This is high drama, friends. How did they know that the king was to be born? How did they know when they came to Herod to ask the question, where is he that is born king of the Jews? But then again, 30 years later, that child was crucified in high drama in a confederation of Jewish leaders and Roman power. Both Jew and Gentile crucified Jesus. What an absolute drama, to the point where one of the Roman centurions who was there at the crucifixion said, surely this must be the Son of God. But it wasn't over then, because 3 days later he rose from the dead. And that was really high drama. Without the birth, there would have been no crucifixion. Without the crucifixion, there would be no resurrection. Three major dramas in a matter of 33 years. And it set the course of all of history. Now, there are a lot of other things that are taking place now. And we'll take a look at a few of these. Just to kind of wet our feet, our memories, going back a bit, I have in my hands the covers of Time Magazine. One, August 5th, 2024, the other, December 30th, 2024. The one, a picture of Donald Trump with the words, "Attack on Trump, former president survives shooting with nation on edge." Not only was the nation on edge, the whole world was on edge. What's going to happen? What's happening to the United States of America that the whole world was looking at as the greatest power broker on earth? What's going to happen there? This is high drama, friends. And then he raises his fist and challenges the people. We're going to overcome. Fight on. And then, just 4 months later, Time Magazine features Donald Trump on the front cover, declaring him Person of the Year for 2024. The very person that they have mocked and ridiculed and done everything they could to destroy. You think that was not high drama? That was major drama, not only for America, but for the whole world. So great is the drama of these two events. First, the assassination attempts, two of them, and then being declared Person of the Year. You know they didn't want to do that, but they didn't have any choice. Indeed, he was the captain of drama for the country and for the world. That doesn't mean we're to bow down and worship him, but that's exactly what happened. The whole world now was under the attention of Donald Trump. What's going to happen then? Well, we know that during that period of time, there were some 1,600 people that had been, during the previous Biden administration, some 1,600 people had been arrested and 1,100 of them thrown in prison as a so-called insurrection. That was a drama that led to major events that unsuspectingly likely led to the re-election of Donald Trump again. Who would have ever believed that someone could be attacked with lawfare war, the way Donald Trump was for 4 years, twice impeached, and pressing on with the engines of so-called law enforcement in America, all failing in their efforts to bring him down? Who would have ever been able to stand against such engines of lawfare war? But he did. And the consequences of that are going to echo down now through history. What will the consequences be? We don't know for sure. But we do know that the election of Donald Trump has caught the entire world by surprise. Why do you think it is that dozens and dozens of world leaders are now making haste to get down to Mar-a-Lago to meet with Donald Trump? It's changed everything. It's changed the whole spirit, the whole framework of the world. Unbelievable. Really unbelievable. In fact, we could say it again, unbelievable. But it is happening. But there are lots of other things that happened in 2024. For instance, this is an interesting one. It has nothing to do with Donald Trump. It has to do with J.K. Rowling. You know, the author, writer, creator of the Harry Potter series, a female billionaire, multi-billionaire. Well, she came out with this statement: there's no such thing as a transgender child, and no child is born in the wrong body. Wow. After being accused on social media of directing a hateful focus toward transgender kids, she's responded by saying that what she is accused of isn't even possible, since there is no such thing as a trans kid in the first place. There are no trans kids, she says. No child is born in the wrong body. There are only adults like you prepared to sacrifice the health of minors to bolster your belief in an ideology that will end up wreaking more harm than lobotomies and false memory syndrome combined. Now, what are the impact of this? This is drama, friends. A renowned female billionaire who is not only a billionaire, but also has commandeered the affections of untold millions and millions of people, kids. And now she's coming out and declaring, contrary to all popular thinking out there, there's no such thing as a trans child. That's dramatic. What do you think the consequences will be? They're going to continue to echo now because of what one person said. One person, a financial means, but also more than that, of renown because of a popular series. All of this goes on and on. And we go to Israel. The Jerusalem Post top 10 stories of 2024. A very, very eventful year. We'll quickly run through some of those things. Not all of them. But we'll quickly run through some of them and see the echoing consequences in the horizon of these dramas that have taken place right before our eyes. So much drama, friends, that we've become inured to it. We almost expect drama every day, don't we? We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Drama and destiny. Looking back, looking forward, how are we to understand the events that occur before us and not forget the import that they have for the future? That God actually can use and will use those things, whether we think so or not, whether they appear negative or not. God is and will use them to accomplish his purposes. So, never say never. Just because something looks terribly negative doesn't mean ultimately God is not going to use it for his purposes. Like Joseph, who suffered over and over again unrighteousness, unfairness. He was not treated equitably. He was treated dishonestly. He was falsely accused, just like Jesus was. And then for 17 years, the word of the Lord tried him until God used all of that drama in his life to save his people. So Joseph became like a type of Christ. He did. God is amazing. He knows the end from the beginning, friends. He just does. He knows the trauma that you and I experience. He knows the trials and the testings that you and I have. And we have to be willing to see that is God who is working in and through us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. My wife and I look back over our years of marriage, and we see so many things. We don't have time to even go through the various trials and testings that we've gone through that were very dramatic for us. Some of them would be dramatic for almost anyone. And yet we have looked back and we've seen how God used almost every single one of those that we can highlight and see how God used that to direct the course of our lives, to prepare us for other things that we had no idea that he wanted to prepare us for. And the same is true for you. If you're willing to open your eyes and your heart to see and understand, and yes, even confess, that God is working in and through you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's not going to force it upon you. He still gives us a will. He gives us choice. But we want to cooperate with that which he is trying to do in our lives, don't we? So as we look back, now we look forward and see that there is something happening ahead that we did not understand, that we did not see, that we did maybe didn't even hope for, but that God had in his mind and his heart to do his will for his purposes for such a time as this. So who knows but what you are called to the kingdom for such a time as this? Do you feel like you've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this? Do you have that sense, notwithstanding whether or not you feel like you're walking in great victory at the moment, that you're called to the kingdom for such a time as this? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? That's our calling for 2025, friends. It's always our calling. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the other things that God would have for to happen in and through our lives are going to take place. Trust him. That's what God is looking for. He wants us to trust him, come what may. Remember, there are many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I do know who holds the future, and I know who holds my hand. So, we go back to Israel, and we know that this last year, Iran attacked Israel. That was high drama, friends. Iran attacking Israel. And then we know how Israel struck down the head of Hamas in a way that Iran couldn't even believe Israel could do it. The head of Hamas. And then took dominion in among Hezbollah in Lebanon through the amazing technological cooperation, coordination of cell phones, and took down 1,500 or so of the leaders of Hezbollah in one instant. And then ultimately the head of Hezbollah, Nasrallah. This was high drama, friends, and we tend to forget these kinds of things. But they did happen. So many other. How about the fall of Assad in Syria? Was that not high drama? Nobody even believed that such a thing could happen or would happen. Except perhaps Russia and maybe Erdogan heading up in Turkey. They seem to have some confederation of interest in bringing about the fall of Assad in Syria. But where is it going? It's tremendous drama. Well, that's going to present another issue that few have really considered until now. And that is a dilemma between Mr. Erdogan and al-Julani, who took over Syria, radicalism, and Syria's power struggle. They have different ambitions. The revival of the Ottoman Empire through Erdogan, or the restoration of the Umayyad caliphate that puts them on a potential collision course. Where is it going to go? Nobody really knows. But the stage has been set. The stage has been set. This is high drama, friends, that has just taken place in our world. And it's setting up the stage for the final events of world history. It is setting the stage for the final events of world history. We look at what's happened in the United States and all over the world with the rapid, unbelievable explosion of anti-Semitism. Who would have ever believed we would experience such a thing in the United States of America, in our nation's most prominent colleges and universities, and that the professors and that the presidents would be in confederation with those who are carrying out the anti-Semitism. What it's done is reveal the heart of we the people. It's revealed the heart of people all over the world toward Israel. It's been high drama, anti-Semitism, explosive anti-Semitism, and it is actually now revealing that what Jesus said, what the apostles said, what the prophets said was going to take place is taking place, setting the stage for the second coming of Christ and for the threats against Israel, where the whole world ultimately comes against Israel. And we're watching the drama take place just this last year. It's amazing. But that's not the only thing amazing. On its heels has come a massive explosion of persecution. Every single day now, I'm receiving reports from all over the world, and yes, in the United States of America. Today, at least four or five received them. people being slaughtered for their faith, Christian faith. Christians are being deemed intolerable in our world, just like the Jewish people are being deemed intolerable, so Christians are being deemed intolerable because they stand for absolute truth, an absolute creator who has absolute authority to tell people how they ought to live and to provide the only hope for salvation through Yeshua, Jesus Christ, as the Savior of the world. That is intolerable to the rest of the world that is increasingly embracing a godless world government. So we're seeing it all take place. You see, drama is determining destiny. And God even told us what this drama was going to be. We just didn't believe it. We could hardly frame our minds around it, and still can't in this country. The majority of professing Christians and even their pastors in this country just don't want to deal with it. They don't want to face the drama that's actually happening in front of their eyes and to prepare their people accordingly. Persecution. There's a reason why we're seeing these things. God allows us to see these things in a timely fashion so that we can prepare, so that we can adjust our minds, our hearts, our lives, come clean before Him in purity and in holiness and in righteousness and in confession and so on, and walk by faith and not by sight, all these things that the Bible urges us to do. So if you don't have a copy of my book, When Persecution Comes, How to Prepare Hearts for Perilous Times, you really do need to get a copy of that book. You really do. Whether you think you do or not, you need to. Because it's helping us to catch the vision for what God wants to do in and through your life as a mom, as a dad, as grandparents, and as pastors and parachurch leaders and so on, to prepare the people who are trusting you to tell them the truth amid increasingly dramatically perilous times. Persecution is coming. It's been coming, but now it's coming in roaring like a lion. The book, $25, on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. By the way, another drama coming up. Did you know that the U.S. Postal Service has just announced another increase, not in basic first-class postage, but in all other kinds of shipments? That's right. Things keep changing, don't they? They just keep changing. But what would you think the new list of what higher education considers bigoted? You might be shocked. Stay tuned.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Very quickly, there's high drama occurring in our thinking across America and around the world. That's right. The Bible says, as a man or person thinks in his heart, so is he. Well, now our children, our young people, are being inculcated with a perverse kind of thinking It's so perverse as to be, well, deemed almost dramatic. Who knew but Coeur d'Alene, Idaho would be racist, or is racist, that a parking lot in Lake Merritt, California, and the University of Michigan are all racist? But according to a report from the College Fix, which researched comments and statements from America's higher education industry, racism is anything producing disparities. That's according to Professor Ibram Kendi. So they delivered a list of people, places, actions, and other things declared racist this year by higher education. So, it explains if something needs anti-racist action or diversity, equity, and inclusion, it follows it must be racist or else it would not be correction. So here's what that means. It includes academic disciplines such as chemistry, classics, evolutionary biology, engineering, immunology, math, and more. Actions finding themselves targeted for condemnation as racist include accusing a black student of plagiarism, banning DEI, being Asian but romantically interested in white people, course evaluations, criticizing a black female reporter, criticizing plagiarism, marriage, even being married, mentioning a black female congressman having fake eyelashes, murder, not pronouncing Kamala Harris' name right, and pages more on the list. Unbelievable. Condemning beliefs include being pro-life, pointing out high abortion rates to black women, Christianity, color blindness, and nostalgia. Among others were counseling, dentistry, geology, medicine, Dolly Parton's free book program, dressing as a Native American at Kansas City Chiefs game, paintings of British countryside, porcelain, fried chicken, conservatives, Donald Trump, Nikki Haley. All of these are highly racist, just by definition, according to the new standards, and that's just the start. You think that's not high drama in the thinking of America? It's setting the course of destiny, friends, for your kids. And you're sending them there and paying big bucks to do it. And one of the things that I noticed, maybe you've noticed it as well, as that one of the most used words in the last year, if you can call it a word, is the F word. It's pouring forth from the mouths of politicians and news reporters, fundraisers. It's everywhere. I have articles in front of me right now where that word is being used just as if it's one of the most common words in the lexicon of famous people. It's being used everywhere without restriction. What does that say about America? This is high drama, my friends. When we have reduced ourselves to this level, and even Christians are using this language, are you listening at all? A red state university has poured millions into wokeness, hosting federally funded non-binary rock climbing, in fact. Ohio State University spends over $13 million on diversity, equity, and inclusion staff and hosts a multitude of radical left-wing courses and programs. The school spent $13 million in 2023 on salaries for its 201 DEI employees. 201 DEI employees, the equivalent of the cost of tuition for over 1,000 students at Ohio State University. Friends, this is drama of perverse thinking. They highlight gender and sexual topics in several courses such as sexualities and citizenship, queer ecologies. Two of the highest paid DEI officials both made nearly $300,000 in 2023, with 29 others making over $100,000. The DEI courses of the university dive into topics such as the lesbian experience in the United States, to disrupt the gendered and heterosexual assumptions embedded in how we understand the environment, nature, and bodies. From animal studies, queer and feminist social movements for environmental justice, trans natures and sexual politics, queer ecologies articulate a commitment to new thinking about the challenges of planetary and climate change, one class promises. Friends, this is high drama. This is happening in our major educational institutions that are actually preparing our young for destruction. Remember, drama and destiny? This is drama. A few things. In a different vein, an article from the World Tribune says that now January 6th, 2025 may promise another insurrection. Evan Davis and David Schulte contend that Congress can stop Donald Trump from taking office on January 20th, but has to act now. Davis was editor-in-chief of the Columbia Law Review. Schulte was editor-in-chief of the Yale Law Journal. Evans is now a New York lawyer, Schulte a Chicago investment banker, and they both seem to have a severe case of Trump derangement syndrome. What they're contending is they have the truth, the idea that somehow they can prevent Donald Trump from taking office on the conviction that he's an insurrectionist. And they're planning, they're moving to try to accomplish that. This is the announcement of even more drama, friends. And these are the same people that wanted to talk about accepting the democratic decision of the people. Not. Argentina's Milei, however you pronounce it, is calling for a global right-wing alliance. He said the president claims that liberal and socialist ideologies have led to a whole century of humiliation for his country and are eroding the entire world. So he's calling for a global right-wing alliance to gather nations together to turn the world away from political hell. This is strong stuff. This is a very dramatic statement, friends. Where is this going to lead? Well, as far as I can see, what it's doing is a dramatic statement setting the course for the amalgamation of nations to fulfill biblical prophecy. Exactly how it's going to come about, I cannot tell you. Exactly which nations will be included, but it's setting that course. Drama, high drama in statements, in viewpoints, now are setting the course of destiny. Then, Donald Trump has talked boldly about Canada and Panama and Greenland. And according to the Russian Times, it's more than just a joke. It's a warning. In fact, Trump's most notable contribution to world politics since his reelection as president has been stirring the pot with audacious comments annexing Canada, buying Greenland, and reclaiming the Panama Canal. What does this mean? Well, does he actually mean those things, or is he using them, statements, in order to be able to set the stage for other kinds of negotiations? But the reality is this is stirring in an unbelievable way into the very concept of national sovereignty. Is national sovereignty on the edge of disappearing in favor of merging nations into global groupings, like Mr. Milei in Argentina is saying? Is this what Donald Trump has? I don't know. But these are dramatic statements. This is high drama, friends. And even the Russian Times is saying, wow. And Russia itself is engaged in the very same thing. What do you think Ukraine is all about? What do you think Russia joining with China is all about? What do you think the BRICS nations are all about? That is what they are about. Somehow joining groups of nations that may end up actually in undermining national sovereignty in order to achieve greater power, in order to bring the world to its final prophetic war. Have you ever heard of the Battle of Armageddon? I'm not saying that it's right ahead here in the next year, but I'm saying that the drama that we're seeing is directing the course of destiny. The question then is, are you prepared for what is coming? I'm not talking about going out and filling up your house with food and supplies for dangerous times. I'm talking about being personally, spiritually prepared. Are you preparing your children, your young children, to be able to stand like Daniel in the evil day? You see, Daniel met his drama. The three Hebrew young men met their drama. Would they bow down when the king erected a statue 90 feet tall, a golden statue, say, if you don't bow down, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace? Or Daniel, if you don't stop praying to your God for the next 30 days, you're going to be thrown into the lion's den? Why do you think we tell those stories, friends? Not because they're just stories, because God used those dramatic incidents in order to prepare the world for what was coming and in order to prepare you and me, prepare us for what is coming. It's true. And then we have this report that Jens Stoltenberg is moving from NATO now, heading up NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, to head up the Bilderberg Group as globalists brace for the new Trump world order. This is dramatic, my friends. The Bilderberg Group thrives on discreet diplomacy, secretive, elite networking, and intelligence. These are the things that are happening, and this is happening just in the last few days. So, drama and destiny, there is a connection. There may be some kinds of things in your life that seem to be pretty dramatic. It may be that God is wanting to use those to direct your destiny as well, if we're willing to see it from God's viewpoint. 2025. Lying straight ahead, my friends. Who knows but what you are called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Get a copy of the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, right there on the website, saveus.org. It's the most positive thing that you can do. It's something you can do, should do, and must do if you're a professing Christian to prepare the way for your family and those you care for.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.